The Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky has said that his troops' incursion into Russia's Kursk region is part of a victory plan that he will present to US President Joe Biden next month. He said the success of the plan would depend on President Biden on whether or not the US would give Ukraine what is in the plan. A number of Ukrainian troops made an incursion into Russia's Kursk region earlier this month, and Russia has so far been apparently unable to repel them. Ukraine's top military commander, General Oleksandr Sirsky, said they now control 1,294 square kilometres of Russian territory, as well as 100 settlements, but this has not been independently verified. President Zelensky said that they could make even more progress if Western powers gave them permission to use long-range missiles against targets inside Russia.
Already in this huge attack of Russians, we destroyed already some missiles and drones using F-16. I will not share how many, but we did it thanks to partners that they gave us F-16s provided to us. But again, it's not enough. We're a small number of F-16. We have propositions to the United States. It depends on their permission. They have to be positive on it. Because we speak about our territories, not about American territories. Yes, so that's it. And about new package, I'm very thankful. I had a conversation with President Biden. He decided to give us the new package. Thanks a lot. A little problem. We need after Biden to bring this package home.
President Zelensky of Ukraine. We're joined now by Vitaly Shevchenko, Russia editor at BBC Monitoring. Vitaly, thank you very much. Great to have you on the programme. Mr. Zelensky, he appeared to be in a somewhat upbeat mood there. Has he reason to be?
Well, one reason for him to be slightly more cheerful than before is the continuing incursion into Russia's Kursk region, which has now entered its fourth week, which in itself is extraordinary. Russia has been unable to kick the Ukrainians out of its own territory, even though they're not making much progress recently. And what he said yesterday suggests that whatever territory Ukrainian forces may have captured inside Russia, they did not intend to keep it. And the plan that he mentioned suggests that it could be swapped for what Russia captured in Ukraine. But it depends on how things develop further, because it could be a morale booster for Ukrainians now, but Russians are bringing more reinforcements and supplies, and could be a morale downer later if Russians become more successful.
Do you reckon that's what could be in the victory plan that he's talking about here, a land-for-land swap at whatever peace talks, whenever they might take place?
Well, there's that, and also officials in Kyiv have been saying repeatedly that what they want the West to do now is to allow Ukraine to use Western-supplied long-range missiles against targets within Russia itself. One analogy that Ukraine's been using is that so far we've been intercepting the arrows, i.e. the missiles and the drones that Russia's been firing at Ukraine. But what they need to do is to hit the archers, i.e. the airfields and the bases and the command centers within Russia. Russia knows that Ukraine cannot do that because of restrictions imposed by the West, which is fearful of an escalation by Russia, and therefore a loss of the really important bases and command centers are located outside the reach of these highly precise and sophisticated missiles that Ukraine has, but cannot use against targets in Russia. And one consequence that we've seen recently are, for example, these two massive waves of missile attacks from Russia, which have caused enormous damage over the past couple of days.
Yeah, absolutely. And a number of people killed there as well. Do you think that is related to what is happening in Kursk? Or it could be argued that the Russians have done much worse before Kursk started, like targeting hospitals and targeting hotels and other civilian infrastructure.
Well, that's the question that a lot of people have been asking. Is this Russia's response to this daring incursion into Kursk region. I think yes and no. On the one hand, Russia had to do something to respond as a PR damage exercise, if nothing else. So that's how Russian state media presented, for example. They keep talking about a retribution strike carried out in revenge for Kursk. But on the other hand, this is something they had done before. It's part of Russia's existing policy of hitting Ukraine's energy infrastructure. So it could be argued that Russia would have done it anyway, not necessarily on this scale or hundreds of missiles at the same time, but it's more of the same. And the damage that is caused is it's really huge. The power cuts in Ukraine that had gone away for some time, now they're back. I've been talking to people across Ukraine, in Zaporizhia in the east and in Lviv in the very west. And they're saying that sometimes power cuts last 14 hours a day. And we're not talking about just electricity. If electricity goes in parts of Ukraine, running water goes, lifts, and it's generally difficult to live when you have no electricity.
It really is. I was listening to Kira Rudduk, MP, who we've interviewed on this program as well. She was on the World Service last night. She was talking about having to walk up 14 flights of stairs to her apartment when the power goes off. And she's really just very, very nervous about the coming winter. She's remembering 2022, 2023, and they were 72 hours without power at that time.
Yes, it's really dire. And one consequence that it has is this impact on the morale of civilians who are struggling with their day-to-day activities that we take for granted. For example, internet access. You lose your connection at home sometimes, your Wi-Fi goes, but also it affects mobile kind of communications as well. I've been talking to someone who has a disabled child who has to rely on electricity-powered life support equipment. And okay, they can have generators, but they overheat, they run out of petrol, and they have to call an ambulance. And when they try and use their mobile phones, they don't work because electricity outages also affect mobile phone masts. So these airstrikes, these missile strikes, they affect all sorts of daily aspects of life that we've learned to take for granted.
Well, I was just going to say that to you because I was struck on Monday by the fact that over 50,000 residents of Kyiv headed for shelter to the underground, as they had done so frequently in the early months of the war. And this time round, many of them started to singing. And I was wondering, has the war become normalised in some way?
You know, it's a very good question. They do it sometimes when air raid sirens sound. Well, they don't go to the shelter as much as they used to because, well, can you really walk down 14 flights of stairs every time it happens, and it happens very often? But, yeah, they try and keep up the fighting spirit by singing the, what I heard them sing is the unofficial anthem of the Ukrainian capital called "How Can I Not Love You, My Dear Kyiv?" So that shows a sense of community, belonging, and togetherness. And in terms of whether it's normal, just yesterday I was speaking to a manager from a museum, a Ukrainian museum that got destroyed by a Russian missile. And she said, this is completely abnormal, but we're used to it.
Vitaly, thank you very much indeed. Vitaly Shevchenko, Russia editor at BBC Monitoring.